And so I don't mind y'all chit-chatting. It always sounds good to be sitting around and hear everybody visit. Tonight, we're going to talk about real life. And not that we haven't been talking about real life, but what I'd like for us to do tonight is we're going to talk about some of the things that I've described in my mind and in my world and what I'll call like a concept or a theory. And I always find it fascinating to visit with folks that have great ideas and great thoughts, but they've never been used anywhere. And sometimes we see those in places where maybe a professor has an idea about economics or some type of theory, or maybe sometimes some politicians have theories and ideas, but they've never been tested anywhere. And in some ways, wow, there's a full power. In some ways, I kind of feel like the way that we've talked about our classes on passion, purpose, life, refocusing on Christ has kind of been in that arena a little bit. And so what I would like us to do is, as we think about our lives individually, as we think about our experiences within our congregation, as we think about an outward focus and having a discussion about talent and ability and taking action, what I would like us to do tonight is to talk about how those things fit in with our everyday life. So I'm going to ask you a super personal question here in a little bit about your day and about your daily routine. And I'm going to need your participation to do that. And so I'm going to need you to share very intimate details of your life. Like, when you wake up in the morning, do you shave? Do you have breakfast? Very real, you know, just very detailed things that nobody else does. But the intent of that is to kind of frame our minds around what our real day looks like and how do all these things that we're talking about being a Christian and doing everything that we can to live passionately and with purpose to bring glory and honor to God, how do those all fit together? So the class in general has been designed to move us along a path, to move us along a thought process, and they've been designed to spark thought, discussion, and action. And hopefully, up to this point, we've done that. So in my mind, some of these are our ideas. And in my perfect world, they would all work just right. But I also know that we're humans, and that we live in a world outside of my ideals. So anybody, give me one event that's happened within the last 3 to 5 days that reminded us that we live in a messed up world. Yes. Wow. So we have an instance of somebody stealing prescriptions and falsifying a signature. Oh my. All right, so sometimes folks think anytime a politician talks that, wow.
How about the young man in Georgia right now? As far as I know, he's still being held by the guy who hijacked the school bus and shot the school bus driver.
Okay, so there's one I wasn't aware of, hijacking in, did you say Georgia? All right.
Alabama.
All right, so go to the vet, normal activity. Vet can't open because somebody's stolen the copper out of the boxes.
They arrested folks for praying in front of the White House.
All right, folks arrested for praying in front of the White House. Anybody hear any news about folks in Montgomery County using a weapon to ward off a couple of home invaders? Wow, that one hits all these stories, right? We live in a real world. We live in a messed up world. How do we exist with our ideals and our excitement and our exuberance? How do we exist in the world where these types of things happen? Anybody got any ideas of just, yes. I'm sorry? Quietly and peacefully. There's a lot of wisdom in those words.
I was talking to a man one time that flew airplanes off an aircraft carrier. And he said every time they left the carrier, they knew someone wasn't going to come back. And so he was asked, well, what did you think when you left? And I was like, the other guy wasn't going to come back.
All right. So Tyrone shared a story of aircraft pilots launching off of aircraft carriers and thinking about the return possibilities and it not being them as a casualty. Yes? Yeah, how do we exist in the world today? All right. All right, so we have to remind ourselves that God is in complete control. Now, how many times a day are you told that God's not in control? How many times a day are you told that somebody else is in control? We don't go around counting it. Yes. So, in our lives, as we live from day to day, the reality is that we got to remind ourselves every day, many times a day, that it's okay, and we're trying to be faithful, and we need to remind ourselves of that journey. Yes. Exactly.
You know, battle between one philosophy is never said anything. And another thing, where you mentioned last week, all it takes for evil to win is for good men to do nothing. And I think there's a huge parallel between Nazi Germany in the 20s and 30s and some of the stuff going on today in our country. Whereas the Christians have been marginalized and the preachers, nor do the people who go to church. And we sit here and we watch them kill 60 million babies, promote every evil that the Bible speaks against, and we say nothing.
So, what I really want to drive at, going along with all the comments that we've had tonight, is we have daily lives and daily routines, and I want to talk about what we face daily, and how do we remind ourselves that we need to stay focused? What do we use in our lives? Because, you know what, every day I have different challenges, and I'm not always successful, and I'm not always the person that I want to be, and I need the tips and tricks, and I believe that we all need the tips and tricks that one another uses to help rally us, to encourage us throughout our day. All right, so what do we face daily? What does your day look like? An average day. Somebody share with me how you start off the first maybe 4 hours of your day.
Wake up, pray, get on the treadmill, mile and a half or 2 miles, read my Bible, and then start.
All right. So So Tyrone wakes up, prays, gets on the treadmill, prays, and then gets after it. Yes. All right. Anybody else want to be brave about their morning routine? All right. So we've got a coffee drinker. Got to have that to even function. Is that a timed coffee drip? All right. All right. So here's an example from myself. Wake up to an alarm. I was thinking back about this, and I think I've woken up to an alarm since, like, second grade. When I was growing up, we didn't have a whole lot of pushing and prodding from our household, and so I remember waking up since second grade on my own with an alarm clock, and I hate hitting snooze. So any of you folks that are snoozers, I despise you and your snoozing. I want the last possible moment that I need to wake up, my alarm to go off, and I get up to start my day. I get dressed. I grab all my things for work, breakfast. Most of the time, I don't eat breakfast at the house. I eat it in the car, or I eat it when I get to work. I, too, am a hyper commuter with it's about 57 minutes in the morning and an hour and 15 in the afternoon. Let's see. So I go to work. And the way that my day starts sometimes is it's quiet. And it's quiet and dark because my day starts a little bit normally before 6:30. And most folks aren't there yet, although we're a continuous production facility. So I get there and it's quiet. And I have some downtime to where I try to focus and figure things out that I'm going to work on through the rest of the day. Then typically I have some meetings. And I have meetings with folks that are different than I am. I have multiple projects that I'm working on. One I have in here that doesn't define me, but business travel, right? We have a lot of folks that travel for business. We have folks that aren't here tonight because they're traveling for business. How many of you folks drop off kids in the morning? Any school drop-offers? Yeah, there's a whole nother challenge, right? Confession of an early toddler. I'm freaked out about how to wake up kids before school. I've always had to do it on my own, and so it freaks me out as they get up to school age. Different challenges, right? We've got all these competing things that take place. All right, how many of you love driving and love driving in traffic? So I like driving, probably one of the reasons why I don't mind a long commute. But we have all these things. How many of you go to school still? Anybody still going to school? Yeah? Competing priorities, right? Anybody cook? Cook? We eat? Clean, right? We got to have clean stuff. Wash clothes. Pay bills. Anybody pay bills? Hopefully we're all paying our bills. And clean and eating. All right? We had somebody mention exercise. All right, now what's missing in here? We've had some folks talk about the routine about prayer, and a little bit about Bible study, right? How do we fit all these reminders into all this daily routine stuff that we have? Right? How many of you wake up in the morning and you know exactly what you're going to be doing because you know you're going to get dressed? You know you're going to brush your teeth. You know you're going to have breakfast. You know you're going to drive to work. You know you're going to engage in all these activities, right? And, you know, I can't help but think about all the different illustrations about putting pebbles and rocks and stones and sand and water and all the things in the big jar, and you try to fit it all in, and if you do it the right way, you can get it all in. I have met very few people that can always get in everything they want to get in into life. All right, so we have these lofty ideals, and I believe that's what mine is all about. I want to share a story with you a little bit. A while back, I gained weight. Anybody else? No? Man, I gained weight. Whew. I moved into a job that was one of the most sedentary jobs I've ever had in my life. And so I sit at a computer a lot, and I do a lot of stuff on the computer. And so I gained weight. And you know, the funny thing about me gaining weight was I knew all the health spiel, right? I know I need to exercise, you know, this amount of time, 30 to 45 minutes, 3 to 4 times a week consistently, get my heart beat up, all that good stuff. I need to reduce the certain types of food, right? I love ice cream, so I got to lower my ice cream, all that kind of stuff. I know all the stats. I know all the statistics. I can have somebody come in and tell me how great I'll feel, and they'll show me what I could do and be and feel like. And you know what? It never mattered. Until several things happened in my life that made me think a little bit more carefully about it, that I finally decided within myself and within my heart that I was going to change the way that I ate and the way that I functioned. And so one of the biggest things is I changed the way I eat breakfast and I changed the way I eat lunch. And so every Sunday, typically every Sunday, we'll go to the store, we'll buy my salad that I have for lunch, and that's one of the things that I've done to change my life as far as that goes. And I've lost a little bit of weight, and I've lost some waist size that was very important to me, and it's something that I still work on. But I had to make a conscious decision within myself that that's what I was going to do. And I wasn't going to let anybody else influence the way that I do it. How many of you at your workplace, people bring in breakfast? Anybody have that happen? Okay, we have folks at my place, Shipley Donuts. There's another place down called Morning Kolaches. I love some good kolaches. And then we have the holidays, right? Folks bring in cakes, and I like sweets, and I like all that good stuff, and I like folks being generous, and I don't want to be rude, but I have to tell folks no, and I had to make that decision. All right, so clearly there's a point to all this talk about our lifestyles, right? So I want you to open up to Daniel chapter 6. Should be a familiar story. Just like David and Goliath was, Daniel chapter 6. I believe that inside of each one of us that Ken can deliver phenomenal things about the Word of God in Bible class and in preaching. You can have somebody that really stirs within you something, but until you consciously decide that there's no way, no how that somebody else is going to knock you out of the loop or off kilter, that it doesn't matter what they say or what they do to help inspire you if you don't decide yourself. All right, so Daniel chapter 6, starting verse 1. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with 3 administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel was so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We'll never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." What became reality in Daniel's life? What became reality in Daniel's life? As we read these first few verses, what happened to those around Daniel? Were they jealous? Were they upset? Why? What did Daniel do to offend them? Got promoted. He was successful. He did things the right way. Everywhere they looked, every nook and cranny they looked in, they could not find anything out to hang him out to dry with. That's quite a testament to the way that somebody lives, isn't it? Isn't that helpful whenever you kind of have that history and somebody lobs allegations or something and you have a good, strong, firm history of being dependable, of being somebody highly regarded. All right, so what was the one thing that they felt like they would have to do to be able to set Daniel up for failure? What was it? Unless we do... All right, we'll never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. Can you imagine that being the way that we're described? That the only fault that folks are going to be able to nail us on is because we're faithful believers. All right. What became reality in Daniel's life is folks were jealous. Have you ever had that experience where you're just trying to do the best you can and folks, they're jealous, they're envious? Is that unique to Daniel? No. Goodness, no. What had Daniel done more than just going and trying to be the best person he can be? Why him? Why Daniel? Did he deserve it? Now, these are some of the same questions that I asked myself going through life when I was going through difficult times or folks were doing things that were messing with me. Why me? I don't deserve this. I'm trying to do the best I can. I'm trying to be honorable. I'm trying to be respectful. I don't deserve it. Is that a fair statement? Why him? Why did he deserve it? He didn't, did he? He didn't deserve to be despised and irritate folks. All right. Let's look at verse 6 through 12. So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce a decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Wow. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs rooms where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown into the lion's den? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So what happened? What happened to Daniel? Man, successful guy, doing everything the right way. And what happens to him? He got thrown to the lion's den by some other folks that were dishonest. He was arrested, right? Man, boy, they suckered the king on this. And now Daniel, what was Daniel's thought process here? Said when the decree was published, what did Daniel do? Did what he always did. All right? Do you think there was a conscious decision about Daniel and his life that he's just going to do what he had always done? That it didn't matter? Yes. Absolutely. So the comment was, believe that he made the decision before he had to. Now to me, this is a very, very key concept I wish I had learned in life a long time ago. Is to think decisions through in advance before stuff happens. And that way, you've already thought through it, you've already figured out in your own mind your convictions. And so then if something crazy happens, You've already worked through it, and you're not just all of a sudden having it thrown upon you. Is there any value in that?
It's a good Bible story. Same with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just to teach us.
We have to consciously decide in advance how we choose to live our lives. Regardless. You know, it's been brought up a few times in this class and in other times, but how many people are listening to what folks are saying nowadays? Are comments analyzed? Comments made public? And folks immediately retract statements that may be offensive to folks. Do you think that shapes or influences people that work for public companies whenever they teach lessons? What do you think? We have all of these influences. Yes, heard a comment. Maybe. Just hearing things. Wishful thinking. Okay. That's a good question. To me, it doesn't really matter whether or not he was trying to say, hey, go ahead. You know who I am. You know what I'm all about. And I'm going to do it anyways, regardless of cost. Come on. Yeah, so that's the purpose of tonight's class, is to talk about real life. Real life. Because if we don't make it up in our minds right now, if we haven't already done so, then whenever we are faced with different challenges or issues or concepts or whatever, then guess what? We're going to be surprised. We're going to be caught off guard. We may be caught up in the moment. We may be caught up in a mob mentality. We may cave on things that are very clear in Scripture. Yes. Yeah. So I didn't bring it tonight, but who of you has a smartphone with you? I don't have a smartphone, but I forgot where I put my cell phone. Who has one? Hold it up. All right. How many of those we have with us all the time, right? We have it everywhere we go. How many of us we have PCs and we have tablets, right? We have all these devices. Man, we're distracted. We're distracted. It's amazing. You know, even I thought the window was getting tighter and tighter and tighter when I was in college, which is getting further and further away now. I thought, you know, 15 to 30 minutes, wow, I thought that would always be a standard. But the studies now are starting to come out about how often we're interrupted and what that does to our attention. And we're distracted, and we don't think about things that we used to think about, and we're interrupted. We're constantly interrupted. We're constantly interrupted. So the purpose of tonight is, yeah, David, we want to be Christians, and we want to live passionately, and we want to use our talents, and we want to use all these things that we've talked about, but the real life and the real world is we have all these distractions and we have all these pressures. So what do I do? And what you do is you consciously decide how you're going to live. You consciously make a decision on how you're going to live. All right, so we looked at Daniel, whether or not he was rubbing faces or not, he made a conscious decision that he didn't care what the law said. and that he was going to pray to God, and he's thrown into lion's den. All right, so did Daniel deserve any of this? No. What's the purpose behind Daniel going to the lion's den? What's the greater purpose that's revealed later? What happened? All right, he was protected by God's power. How long was Daniel in the den? Overnight. So it talked about, I had never been game hunting before, anything like that. We talked about encounters with bears and stuff. I mean, apparently lions were a little bit more commonplace during this day and age. And wow. So they pop open this spot, and what happens with Daniel? They find him all ripped up to pieces. No, he was protected. And what happened after that? All right. And what happened to the accusers? Well, they were breakfast, lunch, and dinner just right away. Some hungry lions that weren't hungry for all that time. All right. And then what proclamation was made after this by the king? Let's look at it. King Darius, in verse 25, wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land. May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is a living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He's rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus, the Persian. Wow. So Daniel didn't deserve to be put in the situation or the circumstance he was. He was living the regular life, but he had a commitment, a conscious decision that regardless of cost, he's going to be faithful. And the moral in the teaching that I want to stress is not verse 28 that talks about how he prospered. They decreed, and what did we find out about decrees from this king? Are they revocable? Nope. O king, to the decree you put in writing, no. He decreed all this greatness about Daniel's God. God was glorified because of Daniel's commitment, even though he didn't deserve what he faced. He was living a life faithfully. And while we may not have a king-issued law in our day and age, many times we have an implied law, I believe, that we live with. Do we not have a world that defines success for us? Who defines success for us? Who tells us what success looks like? Who tells you that every day you need to go to work and work 8 to 12 to 15 hours a day? Who tells you that? Your boss? Your business? Profit line? What tells us that that's the way that we're supposed to live? Yeah, they got all types of way to use us up, don't they? Absolutely use us up and distract us from everything that God has amazingly planned and in store for us. Those are the distractions that we find ourselves in when the world and when we allow the world to define our success. Doesn't it seem to define wealth, power, and beauty? I'm asking you. Wealth, power, and beauty. If you look in any magazine, most magazines, if you watch any number of commercials, what are you told? Thank you. Yeah, this is what it looks like. Man. And we allow those things, And you know what? It's tough to remind ourselves and to not get distracted. And what I want us to do, and what I encourage you to do, is we got some folks here in our congregation that know how to handle distractions. We have some folks here that may not have lived quite like King Solomon has lived, but they've had experiences in life pursuits. And they have some wisdom to share with us about what life is really all about. And it's not in all these things that we're constantly told is what success looks like. Daniel honored God privately and publicly. If we don't do private life well, all of everything else is meaningless. If we don't do private life well, you individually, if we don't do that well, everything else is meaningless. I believe that we are created for more than meaningless. The one action item for tonight's class is to think consciously about what you would be willing to sacrifice for the glory of God. Not for your own self-glory, not for the honor of those around you to stand up and cheer you being hauled off or struck down or fired or anything like that, but for God's glory. Where do you draw the line? And think through some of the things where we have some of our deepest, darkest fears about personal safety and freedoms that we've always enjoyed. The ability, one of my biggest, deepest, darkest fears is the ability to meet in a building like this and talk about what's in Scripture and be worried about censorship. That's one of my big fears about 50 years from now, what I may see. Think about some of your biggest, deepest fears and consciously decide where you stand in God's plan. We're created far more than for nice cars and nice houses and all these things. And not that they're bad, but the way that we can be distracted by them and by their pursuit. So that's your one big action item. So the second one, for those of you that have some experience in life, I got a long ways to go, hopefully, depending on whatever the will is. But don't be afraid to share that with us and to share it with one another and use it as a way to encourage. If you have tips and tricks to help you be reminded every day, please share those so that we can encourage one another and that we can go out and we can continue to readjust the conversation about what real life is and what real success is all about. Thank you very much for your time.